Ground. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 1. Most of you are familiar with many things I'm going to say tonight, but I want you to keep your Bibles and go with me. I want to show you a few things. You know, I was thinking as I was talking toward the end and telling them about Christmas, thinking about Jesus and thinking about how spectacular he was and what he means and what gift it was. Begin reading, if you would, in verse number 18 with me in chapter 1 of Matthew, and keep your Bibles open, if you would. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Tonight I want to think upon the name of Jesus. I know, and you're aware of it, that the Bible tells us in Philippians, that in chapter 2, that he has been given a name that is above all names. We find many, many names he wears within the Bible. But here on the birth, I want to share with you a thought or two about this. You know, names were important. And sometimes when we speak of Jesus, we think of here, but Jesus was a pretty common name. And sometimes, and even now, in some Latino countries, Jesus is still a pretty popular name to name your sons. But when we think of the name Jesus, I want you to notice some things particular about this name Jesus. One is, it was selected by God the Father himself. The angel of the Lord is the one that told Joseph to name him Jesus. The word Jesus means, and by the way, names had meanings then, Jehovah saves. It spoke and it pointed back to God. Some people think that God was this great, the Jews had this image of God, that he was this God of wrath, and they feared him so, but they didn't realize that God was a God of salvation. Jehovah always has desired to save. The word Jehovah, there's three primary names given in the Bible in reference to God. Jehovah, Elohim, and Adonai. Jehovah is given more than any other, the rest of them. When you find in your King James Bible the word Lord and God, all printed in capital letters, that is in place of Jehovah. And when you see God with a capital G and little O-D, that's Elohim. When you see Lord with a capital L, little O-D, O-R-D, that's Adonai. So therefore, when you see all capital letters, you'll find that that's talking about Jehovah God. And Jehovah, several things was unique about Jehovah. Number one, he was the self-existent one. I am that I am. Not only was God the Father Jehovah, Jesus was Jehovah, because God is Jehovah. And Jesus said himself that before Abraham was I am. He claimed to be Jehovah. And so therefore he made claims in his name, referred back to the Father that he was Jehovah that saves. Now, when you study the word Jehovah and the name Jehovah, Jehovah hates sin. You'll never understand the hatred of God towards sin. God is angry with a wicked every day. And so therefore, God hates sin. But Jehovah God loves sinners. And Jehovah God makes a way that sinners might be saved. All down through the scriptures, even in the Old Testament, Jehovah worked to try to make people come to the saving knowledge through him. And so therefore it points back to him. That's why we sing, because Jesus was a Savior. And then he told, the angel of the Lord told Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. Then it points back to the fact, and that's why we sing the song, oh how I love Jesus. Because of what he was and who he was and what he did. His name identifies him and with who he was. He was God. He was Jehovah. Not only there, but it also speaks of his desire. The Bible says that God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Well, Jesus came that we might be saved. So every time we speak the name of Jesus, we have to think of him as Savior. Not only that, also we think about what we've been delivered from when he saves us. Just think where we would be if it had not been for Jesus in your life. Stop just a minute and imagine if you had never heard of the name Jesus. Where would you be? What would you be? I have no doubt that many people that sit through this congregation, including probably myself, would have been in prison somewhere, maybe in the grave, had it not been for Jesus and what he's done. Also, it speaks of death, because we know Jesus had to die. As we said this morning, that was his purpose of coming. And so here we find that he came to rescue, to save us from damnation. But the Bible also said, and even though Jesus was a common name, he said in verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. You see, this baby was not just some natural birth. As we said this morning, he was born of a virgin. It was supernatural. He was a supernatural baby. He was God. And he come in the form of man, but he was yet altogether God. Not only that, but he also came to do a battle. He was supernatural in his battle. He battled things that we could not battle. We could not fight against the devil. Not a one of us. Can you imagine where we would be if we were left to on our own to fight off the devil? Did you ever wonder about in the book of Revelation, after the 1,000-year reign of Christ, in Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 through 10, when the devil is loosened for a little season, how that after 1,000 years of living under the reign of Jesus and seeing what Jesus was and what he could do, how they could be deceived so quickly that a big, large multitude would come against the camp of Jesus trying to destroy him. After he'd been on the earth for 1,000 years and Satan been bound for 1,000 years and loosened for just a little season, and how easily people were to be deceived. Can you imagine where you would be if you were left to go one-on-one with the devil? You'd end up in defeat. Jesus was sent to do that because he was Emmanuel. His name. I wanted to look at a couple of things that the Bible tells us. First of all, look at, one time Jesus asked Peter, he said, Whom do people say that I am? If someone was to come up to you and ask you, tell me who Jesus is, what would you tell them? I was riding in Amos with a guy one time, and several of you would know him. Chris knows him really well. His family went to a Methodist church all their life. Don't know anything about it. They were here and there, but they'd, and I don't know how faithful he was and how much they took him, but I was driving in Amos one time. He was about 40 years old. And I turned to him and I said, tell me what you know about Jesus. And he said, I don't know much about him. I said, I thought you went to church. He said, I do. I said, well, what did they teach you about him on the cross? He said, I don't know. I said, are you serious? I said, you sat in church for 30-some years and you don't even know who and what Jesus was? He said, no. And I shared with him who Jesus was and why he came. But I thought, how many people are so ignorant about who Jesus is? Who would you say that Jesus was? Of course, Peter told Jesus that some says, you're Elijah, you're John the Baptist, and one of the prophets. But Jesus asked Peter, he said, whom do thou say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he told Peter that that was revealed to him from heaven. And if you really have a true understanding of who Jesus is, you need to thank God because he's the one that showed you that and revealed that to you, that you could have that understanding. But let's look at what some people said about Jesus, why he walked upon the earth, that saw Jesus. Look, if you would, turn with me several places here in Mark chapter 6. Turn with me quickly. I'm not going to spend much time. Mark chapter 6. Look, if you would, in verse number 3. When Jesus was going about teaching and so forth, they said in verse 3, he says, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Jose and of Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were what? You'd think everybody would know who Jesus is. Even the people that was in the very midst of Jesus did not understand who Jesus was. Don't take for granted that the person next to you at the job, don't take for granted that the person that you run with or your friend, don't take for granted that they know who Jesus is. They may not have a clue who Jesus is. Look what else. Look if you would in John chapter number 6. If you would just turn John chapter 9. I'll take you this verse real quickly. In John chapter 9, the Bible says, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, and Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, said his prophets, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said to him, give God praise. We know that this man is a what? They said, we know what he is. He's a sinner. Jesus. Now imagine that. Look on back, if you would, in chapter 8, in verse 41. Jesus said, ye do deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we be not born of what? We have one father, even God. He said, we know how you come in here. We've done heard rumors. Your mom was pregnant before she married your dad. We've heard about it. You're illegitimate. That was their thoughts upon Jesus. Not only that, look if you would in John chapter 10. Notice if you would in verse number 20. And many of them said, he hath the what? Devil in his what? Why hear ye him? You say, well, anybody see Jesus heal thousands and thousands and raise people from the dead and cause the blind to see and cast out demons, they'd all follow him. But that was not so. Knowing that, look if you would in John chapter 7. Turn back a little bit. Then I want to go a couple of places. I'm going to take you somewhere else. John chapter 7. Notice what his own brothers said. In verse 3, his brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren what? Now listen to me very carefully. One day at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow, every tongue will confess. But don't take it for granted that just because we live in a world of America that where everybody can get a Bible, there's a church around every corner, that everybody knows who this man Jesus is. It's important that we share who Jesus is because not everybody knows. Matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 12, the Pharisees accused him of being the prince of the devils, Beelzebub. Remember that? Called him a fool. Matthew chapter 27. But now, notice what God said about him. Turn, if you would, in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Look, if you would, in verse 17. Bible says, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my what? In whom I'm well pleased. Now the Jehovah Witness will have you believe that he's Michael, that Michael was a son of God and that Jesus was born. Mormons have you believe something along the same line too. Different ones have you believe all that. Islam have you believe that he's just another natural born person that was a prophet like other people was prophets. Listen, God said, this is my beloved son, whom I well please. He said again in Matthew chapter 17 when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration. The angels, when he was born, they pronounced him that he was son of the Most High. Even the fallen angels, the devils, look what they had to say about him. Look at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 29. And behold, they cried out, this is the demons, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? They knew who he was. All heaven knows who he is. God's angels, the unfallen angels knows who he is. The fallen angels know who he is. That's why at the name of Jesus, the devil trembles. He hates the name of Jesus. That's why when we pray, we don't pray on our own power. We pray in the name of Jesus. I'll never forget, and I've told you this before, and I'll just throw it out there and without spending time. I'll never forget one time, they took all of the department heads up to Frankfurt, and we had a prayer breakfast. And they passed out information to us and asked us. And they had all these people in all these different robes, and they had all kinds of turbans and everything on their head lined up to pray all across the stage, 30 of them. They only had one request. Don't mention the name of Jesus in your prayer. But do you understand? We have no bearing with God without Jesus. You see, The scripture teaches us that there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby you must be saved. No man can come unto the Father except by me. You see, that's why until you know who Jesus is, you can't pray to God. You only pray to God through the name of Jesus. At his name, we make our request made known. God doesn't say, here's Junior praying, and lo and behold, I'm going to listen to what he's got to say. He listens because of his son Jesus. When he prays in the name of Jesus. Same way with Jim. Jim could pray. His prayer would hit the ceiling and just bounce off as an echo. Unless he went to God in the name of Jesus. You'd be surprised how many people lives in this world right now and all around us that thinks that they have communication with God regardless of what their spiritual condition is. A lot of people ignorant, dying, going to hell. We could go to tonight and we could look over and over and over at what the scripture says about who Jesus was. But let's notice what Jesus said about who he was. Turn in the book of John. I'm just going to keep you there tonight. This is where I'm going to close at, but I want you to stay with me in the book of John a moment. First of all, look in John chapter 8. I quoted this a while ago, but I wanted to read it. Notice what Jesus said about himself. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was what? I am. I am means Jehovah. He was Jehovah. He existed. Look, if you would, in chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 35. Jesus saith unto them, I am the what? Bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Notice what he says in chapter 8, verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Notice what he says in chapter 10, in verse number 9. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Notice in verse number 11 what he says in chapter 10. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Notice in verse number 11, chapter 11, what he says in verse number 25 of John. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Look, if you would, in John chapter 14. We quoted this a minute ago, but look, if you would, in verse number 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Notice if you would in chapter 15, in verse number 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Notice if you would in chapter 17, and we're going to close right here in chapter 17. Follow with me as I read this. This is a true Lord's Prayer. This is when he prayed, when he was on in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was praying. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished a work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thy own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition. That, by the way, that's Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of this world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are of the world, even as I are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And by the way, that's us. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou hast gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will. Now this is the only time, by the way, you ought to mark this in your Bible if you don't. This is the only time that Jesus asked for his will to be done instead of the Father's will. He said, Father, I will, that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. In other words, Jesus' greatest desire is every one of us who are saved will see him in his glory. Not see him as the world projected him, but see him in his full glory. And when we see him in his full glory, we'll share. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in me. Look in verse 25. He says, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. I want to close by just saying this. As I shared this morning, and some of you say, well, why was he sharing those things about Jesus? There was probably some people here that had never heard some of those things. Don't take for granted that people around you know who Jesus is. They may have heard of the name, but they don't know Jesus. And what our task is to get other people to know Jesus as other people has allowed us to help know Jesus. That's why I want to tell you young people, listen to me a minute. You'd be surprised how many people walked out here and people didn't even come to church and said they were greatly touched by what you all did this morning. you don't know, and sometimes you go through this and you're saying, well, I don't stand up in front of people. If it was a desire to be in front of people, I wouldn't be here, because I would never get up here. I get nervous even now after all these years I've been here in this church. I never get up in pulpit. I don't get nervous. I don't like getting up in front of people. But that's not why I'm here. And understand, when you do things like that, that's not why you're here either. Always enter into it with the heart that maybe some way you might be telling somebody else about who Jesus really is. That one day they could be with him like we're going to be with him. Therefore, don't worry about sharing Jesus with other people, and don't be afraid to. And even though sometimes they will mock you, sometimes they will say things bad, and I've had some people that, some of my friends that I tried to tell about you, they left me. You've heard me talk about picking my best friend up on the side of the road, dead from a motorcycle wreck. 2 weeks before that, I had told him about Jesus. And he told me, he said, Bill, someday I'm going to get saved, but I'm just too young. I'm enjoying life too much to get saved. And he died in his lost condition. I straddled him in a ditch line, and I had to try to put his lung back in his chest, and all I could smell is alcohol oozing out of his body. And the whole time I was trying to work on him, when I saw who he was, over and over and over in my mind, all I could hear is, someday I'm going to do that. And I thought, when Paul was standing before, I can't think of his name, the one right before Agrippa, I'll think of it in a minute. And he said, some more convenient season. Don't ever be afraid to share who Jesus is, because I'm going to tell you something, young people, and old people too. Most of the people you run into in this world does not really know who Jesus really is. They have a false impression of Jesus. And only through the truth can they come to know Jesus. And that's our task once we become saved, is to help other people to get to know Jesus and who Jesus is the way that we know who Jesus is. Amen. Let's stand. Can somebody come play on the piano? Will anybody here come play piano? You, Kim? Thank you. Just play something softly, if you will. Maybe God's speaking your heart. And by the way, while she's coming, let me say this. Young people, listen to me a minute. Brother Porter's not getting any younger. And this is just a good sign. What would happen if we had lost him today? Who's going to pick up the banner and help us in our music in our church? You all need to be preparing yourself to do that. And let God use you. Some of you that have skills, utilize those skills. Expound on them. Allow them to grow. And let God get glory out of them. He gave them to you. Amen. Let's go ahead and play, Kim.